This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Hello, family and friends. I'm Renette Marburg, ready to meet with you on my program, Rise. On this program, we have honest and truthful conversations around family challenges relevant to you. Rise on Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m., finding God's truth for a way forward together. Good afternoon, family and friends, and thank you for joining me this afternoon, Renette Marburg on K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m., on my program called Rise. And this week, I am going to continue talking about trauma. After my program last week, I realized that I tried to finish as much as of it as I could, but then I got so much feedback, and people said to me, "Please, please continue the topic," because I hadn't touched on post-traumatic stress either. So I'm just going to share a short testimony of what has transpired in my year since April last. I just thought it would be a good idea. And as I said, last week we started talking about trauma. And this I think is applicable to us as a nation right now, as well as the individual. I think everybody has been affected in some way with a COVID emergency disaster phase that we've been through, as well as been personally affected in our personal lives. So I'm going to definitely continue with this topic this week. And strange enough, we actually did a course last year on trauma and on emergency psychology and first aid on the psychological effects of being a first-time responder. And possibly maybe this will help you as well, because I think we all responders to some form of trauma at one point or another, if it's now to be there for a family member that has passed away, for family members that have passed away, or somebody that's lost a job, or whatever trauma that they have experienced. But first of all, let us listen to Your Love Defends Me, Matt Mahar. And we will listen to that first of all, and then we'll continue our conversation, because I think we've got lots to share right now. Enjoy.
You're listening to Rise on Radio Cape Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m.
Well, that was Matt Maher with Your Love Defends Me. And that is the wonderful, perfect God that we serve. And as I said, I'm just going to give you a short, brief background of the reason why I'm dealing with trauma right now is that I realized that so much happens at the moment. We've all been through something this year, being affected by the national disasters that we've had, and still ongoing for different reasons. And I would like us just to understand the psychological first aid when it comes to actually being there for other people when you're going through something and something very traumatic. And it could mean there's different ways of responding to disasters. I just want to mention the fact that I just want to go back to what we discussed last week was about trauma. And I just gave a little bit of my testimony of what transpired with me in this year. From the beginning of last year, 2020, we had quite a scare with my daughter. She had with her pregnancy, and then we all got COVID, the long COVID, and that lasted until March, and it was quite traumatic for us, and we had really, really difficult times as a family, and then faced death in the process. And then on the 8th of April last year, I got stabbed in my home. First of all, on the 29th of March, they tried to break into my home. And then on the 8th of April, I got stabbed in my home. And then after that, after coming back from hospital, trying to get through that, I got a punctured lung, so that was compromised my lung in the first place. And I just got over COVID. That was not fun. And then with trying to deal with just that, I got broken into six times after that, again. So, but in that time, I had been working with gangsters. Not that they were the reason. They were not, but you know how the enemy comes and brings fear. Because I'm a social psychologist, and I was working in the areas where we were dealing with some gangsters and trying to get them rehabilitated, which we had wonderful success in. All glory to the Lord. And obviously, people thought that it was that way related, and you know, but the enemy just came to just try to bring fear into my life. I really believe it was an attack on, you know, just to try and stop me from working amongst our communities. And that has not stopped me. Up until yesterday, we did a outreach and we had awesome response of really people struggling with life at the moment in our communities that are impoverished and a crime and, you know, a lot of issues in their areas. And God was so all glorious, and so many of them gave their lives to the Lord yesterday. So it hasn't stopped me. And but I want to tell you, as I was trying to get over that, I got COVID again. And I nearly lost my life on several occasions. The second time around, and I spent the whole year being ill, and could do a little bit of consulting work here and there, but at the end of the day, I suffered huge losses. I lost my contracts with my work. I lost financially. I had huge setbacks. And this is just reality. This is now not, I'm not seeking any sympathy or anything like that. I just want to talk to you about what I can relate to what has happened in this year. And, you know, battled to get on my feet and, you know, the post, and we don't understand post COVID symptoms either, where you get the brain fog. It takes months for your brain to start functioning again, getting over that exhaustion that you don't understand where it comes from. And especially if anybody knows me, most people that do know me, I'm a real get up and go person. I'm not a person that likes to lie in bed. Whatever happens to me yesterday is over and done with. Get up. And I really, really honestly struggled in this year to try and get myself back on my feet, mentally, emotionally, physically. The exhaustion that kept in me, obviously with my lungs being compromised. So I never actually dealt with, because of the COVID last year, I never actually dealt. And considering that I've got the tools and I know what to deal with when it comes to trauma, you actually don't see to yourself. Like they say, often they say a hairdresser's hair. You would never say she's a hairdresser when you look at her hair. Or a mechanic's car is never really 100%, but he fixes other people. So what we end up doing as the human nature is that we don't look after ourselves in the process of any form of trauma. And this is what I'm trying to highlight in our discussions today, is that how do we actually offer help? Because, you know, often we don't even help ourselves, and then we want to rescue the rest of the world and be there for them. And when we look again, our adrenal glands cannot top up at any point of time, because we keep tapping them with everybody and the world's issues and politics and laws and all the adjustments that are happening in society right now. Is that, you know, wearing masks, not wearing masks, so it's continuously juggling times, juggling children, juggling health, having things hovering over us that is unnatural, totally unnatural. We are having fires, we are having floods, we are having situations. It's continuously. A lot of information, a lot of emotional information. And yes, and as believers, you know, we have the most important tool is our Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that comes alongside you and He wavers life with you. And as He says in Psalm 23, is that I will walk through the valley of death with you. So He doesn't always, we often just say, Lord, please just take us out of this. I just want to pack up and leave. I just want to go to another country. And unfortunately, the world is in a mess right now. If you look at the chaos, and we know that every generation goes through these unprecedented times. It was the swine flu, then it was the Spanish flu, and then it was world wars. And every generation goes through something. So how do we cope and adapt in these times? And what do we accept and what don't we accept? There comes a time where we can only accept what can be changed and what cannot be changed. So I'm going to give you a little bit of different kinds of reactions that we often have to different to disasters. We have a normal reaction, we have an individual panic. I had a little bit of a panic having to deal with this topic because, you know, at the end of the day, I didn't realize, now that my brain is healed, just due to some great advice from my sister, it really helped me with the COVID, getting the brain fog away. Suddenly my brain started working and I felt clear. I could last the whole day without feeling absolutely fatigued beyond words. And suddenly the impact of the stabbing came up and I started having nightmares and I started having incredible visions of being afraid of being at home. And I mean, that is not me. I have got no fear. My children will say to me, Mom, you always have led a risky life. And it's not out of being negligent, but just I'm up for doing what I need to do and worry about it later. But at the end of the day, we are not looking after ourselves. And the fact that I never actually even went to counseling on any level for any of what happened to transpire, thinking that I know everything, and that's what we often do, even as managers, and managers, doctors, nurses, psychologists, psychiatrists, pastors, worship leaders, youth leaders, counselors. I mean, we even counseling so much more now, and even all that trauma that of our people that we counsel all comes with something, and then we have to work that out and carry. I mean, we're all human at the end of the day, and what is happening around us, and we think we know everything. Only God knows everything, and this is where we need to focus on where we spend our energy and our time in getting the resources and the answers to what the Lord wants us to do and how to navigate our lives through His word first and foremost. And yes, we have to do, there's certain things that happen. We have the depressive reactions, we have extreme active reactions, and then we have corporal reactions. And corporal is obviously when nations get affected and communities get affected. But we will talk about that, because 10% of the victims that suffer psychological disorders. And that can come in different forms. It can come in post-traumatic neurosis and transitory emotional disorders in children, grief and depression. And I think we've all had some of it. Somewhere, many of us have had that in our lives. Somewhere we can earmark a disaster or something that is really that triggers us off into these different kinds of emotions. We can even go as far as back as our from childhood, and then suddenly you start having behavior patterns coming out in your adulthood. And I have got many things that have triggered me off from things that happened to me in my childhood, which was very traumatic. And and I started acting it out and having those kind of problems when I in my adulthood, and it showed specifically in my marriages, and that's where we make mistakes and wrong decisions and choices for ourselves, and that is where I decided in my old age to go and study social psychology. And it was so profound because it sorted me out, it helped me make better choices for my life. So it's never too old to be great and to learn something. So please, just take on anything. And you know what often can be what leads you to your calling. How many of us have had something traumatic happen to us, and either a beautiful book has come out of it, or a ministry has come out of it, or our testimony is always something that the Lord uses. I heard something by Steve Harvey the other day when he said, we can always know that a promise comes out of our acts of adversity, and the Lord has always a plan in our adversities that happen in our lives that leads us to either get up and go and do something and live life to its the fullest when we get given a second chance. And so I just want to encourage you that, I'm going to give you some, first aid kits, a little bit of information on how to deal with it and some myths and realities of trauma straight after this. But we're going to listen to Guillaume and Jean. This is our worship. I haven't heard him in for ages. So I loved him in my younger days. Let us listen to what they've got to sing for us right now. And this is our worship. And I need to share with you how to worship in these difficult times that we are going through. So enjoy.
Rise with Reinette Myberg, finding God's truth for the way forward together.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on this beautiful day. It's Reinette Myberg on 7 to 9 a.m. on my program called Rise on Cape Pulpit. And I just want to encourage you to please look at our Facebook page. We have so much activity happening there. I want you to interact with us on WhatsApp on 0817291657. And our Telegram number is the same, 0817291657. If you want to know anything about our programs or anything that you'd like to communicate, prayer requests, anything that you'd like to say to us, please, 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 please connect with us. We'd love to know who you are, and the fact that you're listening will be wonderful as well. If there's any comments that you need to make, or any of our guests, so please contact us on those WhatsApp numbers and the Telegram number. And our SMS number is also 37988, and our Facebook is 729 Cape Pulpit. And we have a counseling department where you can press 021-9177-000 option 1. And often we don't realize where sometimes it's just a call away that you need some help. I remember, I'm going to unfortunately mention, I need to honor them, mention that when I got saved, I was in a very, very difficult situation, and I just called out to CCFM on the phone, and I will never, ever forget the prayer that lady put said over my life. It changed my life, and my life has never been the same. So please reach out to us. There are options that we can help you and direct you into the way you need to go. So it is 021-9177-000 option 1, and please seek the help that you need. I just want to encourage you that we've just enjoyed Freedom Day. And, you know, we need to understand that these are the times that we are trusting for freedom. And the only freedom at the moment, as we look around, we cannot see it and we cannot feel it. So we're all in a traumatic state of emergency and trauma in some way or the other. But the only freedom we have is in Jesus Christ. And I just want to share something with you where he, you know, we just before the break, we had a wonderful, I was just sharing about the wonderful work that the Lord did with me in this year, in spite of all the trauma and the post-traumatic stress that I went through the troubles that I had. But I kept on holding on to the word. There were friends of mine that passed away, and I had questions that I asked, said, Lord, why did you keep me alive? And why did my friends go? And why did my friends die? And, you know, so many things happened, and I nearly lost my daughter in the process, and my grandchild. And yes, Lord, you know, what is going on? What is going on? But in Exodus 23, verse 20 to 27, he says, see, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and your water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a fulfilled life span. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. And this is where we find so much happening in our world today, is that we are struggling with what we hear, all the information. Should we listen? Shouldn't we listen? Should we? How the Lord says, you just, I have sent an angel ahead of you, and he is there to, we just need to trust and obey him. And we cannot rebel against his word. We cannot talk against his word. So if whatever is happening around us and it doesn't come into full alignment with his word, we need to understand, we need to listen to what he has got to say to us and how we can navigate, because this word is a perfect manual for us to go through things and understand that, you know, even when I had moments where I lived, I nearly died, facing death by the minute, and the Lord said, no, I am the breath of life. And he kept on, scriptures just kept on coming through me, coming through like a movie in front of me. And this is where we can trust the word at all times. And he says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain, and who build it? Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And this is where we need to understand. We need to place our trust in him. He says in Proverbs 3, verse 5-8, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And as I said earlier on, we think we know everything. God is the only all-knowing God, and he is the one that knows exactly how to direct our paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh. Health. We need to listen, not listen to the evil of this world. We need to year, we need to depart from evil and fear the Lord. If we fear Him, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Is that not an incredible promise? And this is where, you know, that lean not on your own understanding. That came up when I went into this perfect peace while I was being attacked. The Lord just gave me that verse. Actually, I have to again mention the person that just his face came up and was Justice Mucheng. And his face came up and he said, go into the perfect peace beyond your understanding. And I calmed down immediately. And once that came over me, I felt no pain until I got to the hospital when obviously, my adrenaline had died down a bit. But in that time, I did not panic. I screamed, but I did not have fear coming over me. I had perfect peace. And if I had struggled any further, the professors at the hospital said, I would have died because it was one literally 3 millimeters away from my main artery where I got stabbed. And, I would have bled out. So the fact that the Lord actually came in and immediately intervened because He knew the danger. So He sent an angel before me, which was at that point Justice Mucheng, where he came up and he said, come into this perfect, his face came up and he said, go into this perfect peace and beyond your understanding. And I did, and I stopped, and even the paramedic said, oh my goodness, you are so calm. And I said, the Lord showed me I need to be calm. And I didn't know why. And once I did the x-rays, it was like straight to hospital, the whole works. But that is God. That is our perfect God that we serve. So I just want to just give you some myths and realities. But at the end of the day, we need to be very careful when we come alongside people. I just want to give you some tips of when somebody has gone through a death, has lost a family member or an accident, or because we all respond differently to other people. What might be mild to you and say, okay, don't worry, I can get myself another job. But when you've lost your job or you've been retrenched for whatever reason, it is very traumatic for somebody else, and they go into deep suicidal depression and cannot sometimes come out of it. So we cannot be critical and we cannot force somebody else's grief on anybody else. But after this, I'm going to quickly give you, time flies. We're going to listen to Michael W. Smith and Agnes Dayer. We will continue with this conversation and just give you a few tips straight after this.
Radio Cape Pulpit 729 AM with Renette Myberg. Finding God's truth for the way forward together.
Oh, wow. One of my favorite songs of all time. I tell you, I was worshipping here in the studios, and I can tell you now that song has carried me through many, many traumatic times. And that is where I want to teach you to please, please worship in your adversity. Worship Him. Get up and pray and thank Him and be grateful for the second chances in these times. But I just want to give you some tips on how to respond to somebody that is going through some trauma, even if it's straight after an accident or losing somebody or losing a job even or going through a divorce. There are so many forms of trauma that we go through. Children, domestic violence, there is a responsibility that we need to take. So, we're not all psychologists and we're not all counselors, but as a human being, I would like to just give you a few tips that you can do. Just understand when somebody is going through something. As avoid being critical. Do not judge or preach. Many things happen sometimes when you're to blame or you're the reason for an accident or a divorce or something that happens. Do not avoid being critical. Do not judge or preach. To have an attitude of listening responsibly. We need to listen to our victims that are going through these things. It says, to listen means to freely let the other person speak. To listen means to perceive context as well as emotions. To listen requires sensitivity. To listen helps to establish trust between the parties. And to listen allows the one who speaks to relax. To listen, keeping direct visual contact. There are different ways where, general basic practices or guidelines for behavior. And often we need to, especially with children, we might find that we have to take certain actions. It says to eliminate or reduce hyperactivity. The person generally performs many activities without completing any of them. The person can be very critical or conflictive or even impatient. Assign some activities to the person which are low in complexity. And it says also, when it comes to a child, you might have to hug that child. And so we need to understand that each one responds differently to another situation. But I want to give you some myths of what people go through and, you know, the kind of response that we need to take. At the end of the day, we often think, okay, the myth of violence and aggression do not happen often at shelters. The reality is most of the studies show an increase or violent behaviors and an excessive use or abuse of alcohol and other psychiatric substances. There are other things that we often realize that we are, we would love to give advice. It says don't give advice, because if you're not equipped for the advice, direct them to the way that they need to go. Be gently. Not everybody thinks that they've got a problem or they don't think it's so severe. You need to be there and walk the road with them and give them, don't give unnecessary advice that, you might think that you're the example. Sometimes we put ourselves in as an example and say, yes, this happened to me. And then, and think that they're going to respond the same way. No, it doesn't happen all that way. Even though our testimony is our testimony, it doesn't mean that that person's going to get up from the situation the way you did. So you always have to listen responsibly, because that will give you an indication. Is this person suicidal? Is this person grieving to such an extent that depression and is coming on? And, we just need to listen. And it says, do not excessively emphasize the positive aspects. Sentences such as, it could have been worse, can be counterproductive. And because at that moment, it is the worst thing that has happened to them. It's often, even with a stabbing, many people have said, yes, well, you've been given a second chance and you could have been killed. You didn't die. And yes, it was, I could have taken it differently. I said, thank you, Lord, I've got a second chance. But what if I didn't, take that that attitude? So he says, do not minimize the fact. The sentences like nothing's happened tends to be negative. Sometimes we foresee what could have, should have, could have happened. If we did this, something else would have happened. We often look at a situation and say, sure, that could have happened. And that doesn't help, because sometimes we just, in a moment, that trauma still comes. Suddenly you nearly just missed an accident. And that trauma still leaves a scar and still triggers off. And at one stage I was caught without my driver's license. And every time I see a traffic officer, I go into a cold sweat. And even though I he didn't find me, still that triggered every time I saw a traffic officer. So I'm just giving you an example of a superficial example of what triggers some things off at the end of the day. So and it says that do not joke. Irony can be offensive or counterproductive. It says do not dramatize. if the person cries, the aide doesn't need to also do it. Sometimes we get very emotionally involved. We need to be strong there for them and just hide your emotions. Yes, it might be difficult. It might be, you might have know the person that has passed away as well. But when it comes so close, try and be strong for them. And, so it says, but do not deceive the victim either. So do not pretend. A lot of people say, no, they're only going to tell them later on that somebody has died in an accident or, because it might be too traumatic for them to receive. Rather be honest so that they know what they're dealing with right from the beginning, and then you can know how to navigate them by their reactions and their responses. It says, do not favor the attitude of blaming himself. Many people, as I said earlier on, we often blame our situations for enticing in a car accident or a divorce or, and we end up having so many regrets, but needing to be there with an attitude of, come, let's walk with you through this. It says, do not act defensively. And then it says also, do not favor direct dependency of the affected with the aider. So, sometimes we as aides, we want to make empty promises that we cannot keep. And some people become dependent on that. I had recently a situation like that. And I suddenly realized these people are depending on me much more and much more and much more. And I suddenly had to find a boundary line, which can be very difficult to do. So I just want to encourage you as, when you come in contact with family and friends and or even at an accident or the first person to respond, try and listen to where the person is before you start giving advice and doing some certain things that shouldn't be done. So I would like you just to be encouraged in this time. The Lord says to us, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In Isaiah 41 verse 10, he says, and then in Jeremiah, one of my favorite verses, 29 verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So I just want to quickly pray with you before we go to come to an end. We've got Gilmer Standick joining us later on with the news. So I have to keep on moving so that we can know that he is Lord. So I just want to pray with you now to live free from worry. He says, Father, I thank you that I have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of your dear Son. I commit to live free from worry in the name of Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. I humble myself under your mighty hand, that in due time you may exalt me. I cast the whole of my cares, and then you can name them if you would like as you are sitting there, all my anxieties, all my worries, all my concerns, and for all on you. You care for me affectionately and care about me watchfully. You sustain me. You will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved and made to slip, fall, or fail. Father, I delight myself in you, and you perfect that will be that which concerns me. I cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of you, and I bring into capacity every thought of to the obedience of Christ. I lay aside every weight and the sin of worry, which does not try so easily to beset me. I run with patience the race that is set before me, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Amen. Amen. And we will meet with you next week. I have got a lovely month coming up on educational. I'm going to have some educational psychologists in the studio with me, and we're going to talk about our children and the struggles that they have at school. So just please stay tuned. And next week, we're going to have wonderful guests in our studio. And have a wonderful, blessed week further until we meet again. God bless you.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.